Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. It's not that bad, really. Yeah. Except for if you start seeing it on my face, then I'd be like, anyway. All right. So two things before we get going. As you know, the fall back over the night, and so our clocks haven't reset yet. Here, unless they did. No, they still haven't. All right, so it's not 11:36, okay? It's 10:36. So, but I will say this, if your tummy starts to rumbly, it's because, you know, it's 11:36. No. Just wanted to throw both those things out there to you. the message we're going to be sharing this morning is one that I decided to bring, headed into the, what we call the holiday seasons, November, December. And I thought this would be a good way, a good reminder, for us as we get, into those times, something for us to take to heart. And that is listening to the voice of God. Now, we understand that the Bible is how God speaks to us. But I do believe that there are times he uses other things as well. Sometimes when your spouse, you know, especially your wife, smacks you upside the head, sometimes that's God telling you through her, you know, to, you know, use your head or things of that nature. Or even he uses nature and things himself to talk to us. But as we look at this morning, it's one of those things again. I appreciate the songs so much, knowing what my sermon's about, right? And so hopefully as you go on through your day and you'll remember as we sang, some of those songs, that, those are just good reminders for us in our daily life. And so the Bible says that God's voice is often found in the quiet moments. There's no doubt we see God's word, and we could read through scriptures and see the parting of the Red Sea. I can't imagine the noise that went with that. Not only from the water, rushing waters peeling back, but from those that were getting ready to cross over. The gasps, the sounds that would be made. And so sometimes it's a loud noise. But sometimes in scriptures we're told that God speaks to us in those overwhelming displays of power, but sometimes also in the quiet moments. Perhaps the most famous example, and many of you probably already know where I'm going, at least with my first point, is that of Elijah, who heard God in a still small voice. After a mighty wind and earthquake and fire and teaching that God does not always announce himself with dramatic force. Although we see he does, sometimes, and this is one of those great ones, he just comes to us in a still small voice. Scriptures encourage waiting in silence for God, as it is in the stillness that his peace and direction can be heard. And the Bible's message is that God's voice can be recognized through the Holy Spirit, through Scripture, through times of meditation and contemplation. And as we get into this busy time of year, as if the other 10 months aren't busy, right? As we get into this November and December, and it being a busy time as well, just may I offer out a suggestion for us. Take time to just sit back, refocus on God's will and God's word. Allow the Holy Spirit to work within us through the scripture and through his word. And time of meditation, that is one of the things that I think that we don't emphasize enough when we like read through the Psalms. David is always taking time to meditate, to stop, to consider what God has done. But we live in the world where it just keeps moving along and we need to keep up with the flow or we're going to get out of sync and we're going to fall behind. But see, that's the difference between a Satan-led world and a Spirit-led life. Take time to recognize those things. Elijah in the still small voice. This is a key biblical example that is found in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13 is the we've kind of sunk that or shrunk that down to just looking at those three verses. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord, and the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And so it was that Elijah heard it. Then he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" If we remember from some years back, Coop had all his emphasis on how the different ways that that could be said. But have you ever thought that maybe in your times of quietness, in your times of meditation, that the Lord is seeking for an opportunity to say this morning, and maybe, maybe, just maybe, it happened just a few moments ago as we were meeting around the Lord's table, that as you are in contemplation and you are in meditation, that the voice of the Lord, you heard a whisper, "What are you doing here?" Well, we know why we're here. Because if we're not, the elders might call on us, right? We know why we're here. Gives us an opportunity to see family, right? We know why we're here. We've got to give names to update the prayer list and things that have happened. We know why we're here, right? And then the list can go on and on and on when really the reason, so why are you here? And in that still small voice, the Lord reminds us that it's not about you. That it's about Him and what He's done for you. That in that still small voice, maybe we heard the words, "This is the blood of the new covenant. That this is the bread, my body that was broken for you. Take and eat." And I know we can get distracted really easy. But it's also pretty easy just to take a minute or two. The Lord hasn't asked for us to spend the entire day on the Lord's Supper. Every account that we read in scriptures of Jesus talking about the Lord's Supper or Paul talking about the Lord's Supper, it all happens in those accounts that you can read in about 2 or 3 minutes. Now, do I think the event was probably longer? Probably. But you know what God gave us? What He wanted for us to listen to. What He wanted for us to know. And in a still, small voice, perhaps this morning He was asking you, so why are you here? Why are you here? What are you doing? God spoke to the prophet Elijah, not in a powerful wind or an earthquake or a fire. And we've seen other times when the Lord did talk to the people through that. Some of my study this past week, I was reminded of the Korah rebellion. God spoke through an earthquake there. 250 people met their fate. Because they didn't stop to realize who God was. Not in the powerful wind, not in the earthquake or in a fire. Do we ever have any passages of scriptures that remind us of God in the fire? How about Moses on the mountain? Who should I say sent me? I am. But behold, wait, didn't I throw three people into that furnace? And as I look around, do I not see four? And the fourth appeared as the Son of God. Oh, God can speak to us through the great. But He also speaks to us in a still small voice or a gentle whisper. This demonstrates that God's presence is not always in the loud, in the dramatic. But that there is so much power that can be found in just the quietness of focusing on the presence of God. And I know it's November 2nd, and Thanksgiving seems so far away, and the Christmas rush, and all the things that are going to take place with that, that as we sit here this morning, we're like, it's so easy for us to be calm and to focus on Jesus. Until that last Thursday in November, as we're running around the house. Oh no! The cranberry sauce! I'm just saying. And I like cranberry sauce, okay? But I can do without it 364 other days of the year. So you don't have to have it, right? So if you forgot the cranberry sauce, maybe that's the Lord speaking to you saying, let it go. Right? Maybe. I don't know. If it's there, I'm going to eat it. I'm just saying. But if it's not, I'm not going to say, oh, you know what? Would have really topped off this dinner. That's not what I'm not going to say. Okay. But what I'm saying is we can go from the calm and the peaceful to the hectic and out of control real quick. And you know what? God's still there. And He's remaining the same. What we need to do is get back into our focus. There's much power that can be found in the quietness of focusing on the presence of God. And why is that? And it's because of something that I think, especially as we look at in our generation and probably all generations before, and the more things change, the more they stay the same. But we all need a gentle, guiding presence to just remind us. I think I used this in Sunday school is how Courtney Schaefer has a shirt that says, God's got this. then we run about and we go about things and we're like, well, I gotta do this, I gotta get this done, I gotta get this, I gotta go here, I gotta go there, I gotta get, when we run ourselves ragged and we forget to give Him the honor and the glory and the focus that He really needs from us. And when I say He needs, and it's not that He needs it to feed His ego, what it really is He needs it from us so that we have that opportunity to give it to Him. It does us good. God's voices in silence can bring comfort, direction, and assurance. It requires a quiet and still heart to hear Him. As the world's constant noise can easily drown us out and drown out what God's Word is trying to tell us, chill. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, He will feed His flock like a shepherd, and He will gather the lambs in His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You know, it's a lot easier for that shepherd to reach down and pick up that lamb when it's calm than when it's running around like a Tasmanian devil, right? Remember those from the Looney Tunes, right? Right? You know it. It's a little harder to catch one of those. But the lamb that is quiet, the shepherd can walk right up, put Him in His arms, draw us near, and carry us. And we find rest. God wants for us to truly know that He is there for us. So many times we run from God. We run from His leadership. And we run from His love. And we never even consider that it is because our own selfishness and pride that we run away anyway. Psalm 25:9, the humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. The Lord guides and teaches those who humble themselves before the Lord. And so those that were in Hal's class this morning, he spent a good deal of time talking about this idea of being humble and expressing humility. Because those who are not humble cannot be taught. Have you ever tried to teach somebody that knows everything? It's a very difficult task. Because when we are not humble, we cannot be taught, and we refuse the guidance that is given. Matthew 11:29. I leaned over during the class this morning and I told Carol, oh, Hal's going to love my message, because I had like half the verses that he had on his paper in my message as well. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do we need rest? Do you ever just get worn out by the world? Right? We have it. We talk about it. We are having a week and it's just driving us bonkers. I just can't. The last thing I need to do is go to church, be there and just having people ask questions. But you know, there's something about showing up when it's rough. That maybe something said in the prayer time. Maybe something said in the lesson. Maybe somebody's words of kindness as you came through the door or even on your way out. Or maybe just being able to take that hour and sit there and realize God's got this. And it does us wonders. And we come into a time where we're all ramped up and anxious, and the Lord just helps us to push on with a still, small voice. Because I'm telling you, if we don't spend time with the Lord, meditating, contemplating, thinking, studying, digesting His Word, it's going to cause us problems. And we are so fortunate that Christ deals with us in a gentle way. I know many of you probably know the name William Wilberforce. It's one of the gentlemen that helped to inspire the writings for the man that wrote Amazing Grace. William Wilberforce was in the government over in England as statesman for Great Britain in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. He actually, and I know I've shared this before, it's years ago, but if you ever follow the life of William Wilberforce and you read it, he was able to bring slavery to an end in Great Britain, and they never even had to have a war over it. It took legislation, and it took many years, but it didn't pit brother against brother. Just a side note. William Wilberforce had this to say about his walk with the Lord and time spent in the Word. He says, "I must secure more time for private devotions. I've been living far too public for me. The shortening of private devotions starves the soul. It grows lean and faint." He said this following a failure in Parliament when he remarked that his problems may have been due to the fact that he spent less and less time in his private devotions in which he could earnestly seek the will of God. And he concluded by saying this, "God allowed me to stumble." See, when we falter and when we fail, "Oh, why did you allow that to happen, God?" But maybe he's allowed it to happen once, first of all, because of our own pride, as we've already discussed. But maybe it's so that we take that time to focus on Him. When we think that we can do it, and what I mean by it is life, when we think that we can do this life without Him, that's when the worst things are going to happen. We need to be there to listen to that voice of God. Many times we look at our failures as if Christ has let us down, but it's on the contrary. Surviving our failures is the greatest and kindest Christ at work for us. You hear that? Surviving our failures is the gentleness in Christ. It is the gentleness and kindness of Christ at work for us, allowing us to come to Him, to stand up, to pull up our britches, right? To dust off the dust, to pick ourselves up and proceed living for Him. We need to maybe be knocked down once in a while so that we can think about what's going on as we're down there. And lastly, we learn this from our text in 1 Kings. And we learn it through the meditation of the Psalms, which we have referenced, which is the encouragement we can find to be still. The Bible encourages people to wait in silence for the Lord. There's times that we can be singing praise and honor and glory to Him while we're waiting on an answer, while we're waiting for Him to come back to us. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord just looks at us and just says, "Quiet." For example, we're reminded in Psalm 62:5, "My soul, wait in silence for God only." Why? Because my hope is in Him. I love the story. I've used it multiple times through the years. So if you've heard it and you remember it, humor me and understand what we're trying to get conveyed today. But early African converts to Christianity were earnest in regular and private devotions and prayer time. Each one reportedly had a separate spot out in the woods or down through the thicket, out into the wilderness. They had a separate spot where they could pour their heart out to God. Over time, as they did this, the paths would become very worn out. As they would walk there in the morning and perhaps in the evening, they would walk down a path and they started to form a trail, and it started to be evident that they were going out to this special spot to be with the Lord. And it was soon apparent to all around, if your path started overgrowing, that you weren't involved in your alone time with God out in the quietness. And all they would have to do is walk by their brother or their sister and say one little phrase. The grass is growing on your path. And they would understand that they've been failing in their relationship with the Lord. As we close this morning, since it's 12:02, Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still." The New American Standard says, "Cease striving, quit striving, and know that I am God." Brothers, sisters, is the grass growing on your path? You're the only one that can take care of it. As we move into the next 2 months of the end of this year that the Lord has blessed us with, and we move into the busyness of the time, and we look at a time of thanksgiving, and we look at a time of the world reflecting on the birth of our Savior, don't get so caught up in the turkey and in the ham or the cranberry sauce. Don't get caught up in the presents. Don't get caught up in the fruitcake. Please don't get caught up in the fruitcake. But just take time to remember what we have to be thankful for. What the Lord has given us by Him coming to this earth. And that one day He is going to return for His faithful ones. Look for the Lord. Listen for Him in the still, small voice. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, I know sometimes it's exciting and dramatic when the preacher offers the invitation with excitement and gusto. But in lieu of our message this morning, I'd just like to say this. Maybe you're here, have not been obedient to Jesus Christ, and you want to begin that walk to believe in Jesus Christ and who He is, the Son of the living God. That we are to repent of our sin, the sin that put our Savior, the sinless Lamb of God, on the cross at Calvary. Are we willing to repent of those sins? Confess Christ? That we come along Him and we agree that we are sinners and that He is our Savior, and without Him we are lost. To be immersed. That we are dead men being lowered into a tomb and we come out with the ability to rise and walk in the newness of life. And He allows us with patience to live our life for Him. So if the deep, mighty, roaring voice doesn't get to you, maybe the still, small voice is what you need to hear to come to Jesus today. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation? And just a reminder to be still and know that He is God.